This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Matt Wolf. Matt's a senior leader at RSM. RSM is about the best of the business in quality of earnings work, due diligence in sort of the private equity space. Thrilled to visit with Matt today about how competition strategy is evolving in the PE market, what PE funds have to be great at, and a little bit more. Matt, can you take a moment, introduce yourself, and then maybe talk about how you're seeing competition and strategy evolve in the PE market?
Happy to. Thanks, Scott. Thanks for having me again. My name is Matt Wolf. I'm a director in RSM's healthcare private equity team, also one of our healthcare senior analysts. So I spend a lot of time working with our private equity fund clients and their portfolio companies, just helping assess the rapid pace of change, both in the private equity environment, but also more specifically in the healthcare operating environment as well. On the private equity side and sort of the fundraising deal competition environment, you know, we've seen some of that competition for LP dollars really change, or particularly as a result of the pandemic, and we've seen LPs gravitating towards larger, more established funds. We've seen the mega funds accounting for more and more of the total dollars raised, even as the number of mega funds stays somewhat consistent. They're just getting bigger and bigger as LPs' risk aversion sort of increases as a result of the pandemic. So we're, you know, that's a perhaps a short-term dynamic, right? So that's kind of the question is on the fundraising side, is this a transitory change? You know, over time, and what is the timeline where LPs will come back and maybe a bit more?
Is fundraising getting harder or easier for funds, or is there more competition for LP funds? What's your sense of that?
Well, I think it's getting different. So it's difficult to characterize, at least from my perspective, as if it's harder or easier. You know, we have some funds that have had a very easy time raising funds, are relatively easy. Others that have had a harder time. I think if you have an established brand and track record and can raise at the higher end of the middle market or even mega cap, it's been fairly simple, straightforward. I think if you're smaller than that, what you need to be able to do is to differentiate and say, look, we're raising a, you know, middle market or even small cap type of fund. But we're not going to spread this money over three or four different industries or even over one industry, right? We're raising a fund to invest in this specific type of company because that is where our expertise lay. And that's been pretty successful as well. So I don't know.
Let me ask you a question. But let me ask you a question about that, because I'm seeing more and more that come across my desk, people raising money for very specific things, digital innovation, digital health IT innovation. You know, I just saw another one, business process services. And it's very different than some time ago where you saw more generalized funds in private equity. Is that because the funds themselves more and more need to have an angle, or they feel that there really is where their strengths lie? What's driving some of that? Because we are seeing so much of that. Is that just where the hot money is and people are so excited about that?
I mean, I think there's a little element of that. You know, it's exciting, it's sexy, right? People want to go there. But I think also, you know, we're seeing so much more money being put into private equity as the number of, there are just fewer public companies than there ever has been, really, in modern history. So we have this incredible sum of money that people want to put to work in private equity, huge supply of capital available. And also, as I think as a result of the pandemic, kind of learning that, you know, the traditional kind of physical geographic boundaries that at least once did exist, even if they were only a plane ride away, now no longer do as much. So you're not, you know, you're more investing in that sector because the sector has the depth and reach that you're looking for rather than a specific investor. If that makes sense, you know, you're no longer investing in like the ecosystem of, you know, a New York-based middle market fund manager, right? Because now you can reach anywhere. And so you want to hit some depth with that by going deep into digital innovation within home health or, you know, something like that.
You know, it's actually fascinating how much it's grown to be so niched out. And is that something that will go through cycles where once people hit an area or a cycle so hard, it'll move back the other direction? Do you have a sense of that?
You know, that's difficult to say. It generally does seem like most things have some cyclicality to them. But at least at this point, right, with deal partners and operating partners who can work remotely, work virtually with companies all over the country, all over the globe, much easier than we've ever been able to, it's difficult to imagine a scenario that would emerge in 5 or 10 years where that pendulum would swing the other way. And you'd say, you know, now I'm more interested in investing my money with a smaller shop that is broad, right? Because if you want breadth, you can go with the mega cap funds. Otherwise, if you're looking for that specificity, you know, that's what you want to go with, right? So it's difficult for me to imagine a scenario in which that sort of broad, non-mega cap manager comes back in vogue.
So your point is very well taken. It's really sometimes people raising a $700 million fund, a $1.5 billion fund, a $2 billion fund that are very niched and specifically out, whereas the huge mega funds are still more general. It's a fascinating perspective. Talk a little bit about what does a PE fund have to be great at, you know, as things go forward? What do they have to be great at to continue to thrive and succeed?
Yeah, great question. You know, as I learned early on in my career in private equity, that private equity funds are out there selling money and convincing people why their money is a little bit greener than somebody else's. And I think as we see the sort of demographics change of founders of companies, executives looking to sell their company or looking to move up or bring on a new partner, we have to understand just the overall kind of labor dynamics in general, right? Is that we've seen with our newer labor forces or even people, you know, in their 30s or 40s, that money isn't the ultimate deal maker anymore. Right? We see that with just regular employees. We're starting to see it with business founders as well. So I think leading kind of private equity funds and the way they look at and structure deals will have to get creative instead of just being about the finances. You know, we'll start to probably see more deals where the sponsor will have to commit to certain hiring practices along diversity or continue certain programs that in the company that the founder has started that may not directly contribute to that EBITDA, but are important to the founder. And so if that fund wants to close the deal and beat out the competitors, they're going to have to get creative and kind of take more into consideration ESG and cultural diversity inclusion type measures into their deal negotiations than just strictly EBITDA.
I mean, more and more, especially the smaller the size company, the more that they're looking for, where can the fund help but take us? Where can the fund be a strategic partner as well as a money partner? I mean, that's sort of the perspective, I'd say. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Yep. It's more than just EBITDA. And I think for a long time, and that's nothing new, right? I mean, funds for years now said, no, we have the expertise, we can make the connections, we'll help you ramp up your sales organization, or we've done this with other similar companies in terms of growing and scaling. But I think the new dynamic will be, well, we'll grow, scale in a sustainable way that aligns with your initial vision of not only just wanting to make money, but wanting to make a difference for your customers or for your employees or your community, right? More of a view to the broader set of stakeholders than just the founder.
Fascinating. Matt, I want to thank you for taking the time to speak with us today on the Becker's Private Equity Podcast. Just a pleasure to speak with you as always. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.